Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Thank you, Noah, my dear producer Noah in Arizona. Noah in Arizona. I kind of like that. It's day two of the podcast. I'm not going to be keeping track like this of the numbers. Well, maybe I am. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's day two. We're in it, man. I mean, this is happening. This is just my life. Is that I do, it just dawned on me, Noah, that I do a show every day. And like, you sign up for these things and you go, this is what I want. And it is what I want. I'm very aware of what I want. But I woke up this morning, this one had to be done at an hour that was not ideal for what I, you know, like, because I have such a long day. My schedule's, but then I go, I'm brushing my teeth and I'm like, oh, I want to sleep more. And my head hurt. And I'm like, I gotta think of something to talk about at the top of the morning. I haven't been up this early in a really long time. And by the way, it's 8 a.m. It's not that early at all. Is it 6 a.m. where you are or 7 a.m.?
It's 6 a.m.
So you guys don't have daylight savings in Arizona, right? Saving, sorry.
No. No, so now we're technically in like Pacific time.
Right. Okay, so they don't have it here in Grand Cayman either. So when we gained an hour or whatever happened the last time, I don't keep track. Spring forward. We did not spring forward here. And it, yeah, I was on East Coast. And now I prefer to be on East Coast time because it always makes me feel like that it's the way I used to feel when I would go to bed and my parents would stay up and have a party. It makes me feel safer that there's most of the nation is still awake partying when I might be up too late, like insomniaing. I don't know what it's called when you have insomnia, like staying up. But and then being too early when I was on, because I've lived on both coasts. This was starting out to sound more interesting than I thought it was, so I'm going to move on. I am tired, but who the hell is not tired in America? That's why we need a 4-day work week. which I probably would not subscribe to. But I do have a 4-day work week. Anyway, it just dawned on me that I have a 4-day a week show that I'm going to be doing for a really long time. In the scheme of things, I don't want to like get into my contract details, but I'm like, wow, this is a commitment. This is more of a commitment than I've made in anything in my life, I don't think. Because nothing is more, I've never signed more than a year lease. I've never entered a relationship that was like, we're going to do this forever. I've gotten pets, but there's no guarantee there. And there's always your parents that you can give them to take care of them for you. Noah, you are hilarious right now, trying to not have a nip slip on camera. It's just me, girl. Andrew has learned to stay in his room now from yesterday's episode.
It's so early that I'm still in my pajamas, and I turned this tank top that I got from Nasty Gal into my pajama shirt because my boob keeps coming out of it.
Well,
and it's just one boob.
Nasty Gal, you got what you paid for. I've always felt weird ordering from there, but they do really well.
They do. I've stopped ordering from there. I just want to get like stuff that could last.
Is Nasty Girl the brand that girl boss woman started?
Yes.
I mean, it just sounds like a line of clothing for strippers. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I found out a girl last night that I was talking to that I met through work that to me is just a normal, not like stripping isn't normal, but we were just talking and she was like, oh yeah, I used to, you know, strip when I was 18. It was so fascinating. I love strippers so much. Because to get on stage and take off your clothes and like move your body in sensual ways might be the most humiliating thing I could think of for me. And I'm in awe of anyone who can do it. The way that some people are in awe that I can stand on stage and just like talk without stopping and, you know, potentially say something not funny and then what happens? And it's like, oh, you get over it. It hurts. But like, what if you're on stage and you catch someone's eye and they're like grossed out, but like, you know, a guy is making a face like, ugh, or like someone's pointing at you and laugh. I mean, maybe you blur your eyes. I blur my eyes for the audience. Do you know that, Noah?
I didn't know that.
It's a weird thing that I do where I'm on stage. And I think I've talked about it before, but it's because someone told me, reached out to me and said that the only other comedian they've heard do it. I mean, I don't want to compare myself to him, but it was Steve Martin. And maybe we have something in common. Maybe I'll step away from the business forever at some point. But when I get on stage, I don't look at the audience at all. I can't see faces, and it's not something I do on purpose. But I can blur my eyes, right now you're completely blurry to me, and I have contacts in. But now you're clear, blurry, clear. And my eyes don't change at all. It's just something I can do. And I read it, or I learned on TikTok, which is the new reading, that you know, like ADHD TikTok. There's like, you know, girls in there being like, little facts you don't know about ADHD. You can blur your eyes. And I was like, what? So anyway, I can blur my eyes. And that's what I do when I'm on stage. So even if someone's in the front row, and if you ever go to my show and you're in the front row and you're like, no, she's going to make fun of us. No, I won't. I do not do that. I know that I'm a roaster, but I just want you to be aware when I go on tour this summer and fall, please get as close as you want. I'm not even going to see your face. It's going to be a blur because I don't want to see an expression that might disappoint me. I think that's it. I don't want to see someone's face either not laughing. I can tell when people are laughing are A, by the sound. I don't need to see your smile. And B, by the way the blur is moving. So like when people laugh, there's the blur starts to tremble slightly. So I can know it's laughing. But if people are just, I don't want to look. And I also, when you look at someone's face in the front row, and whenever I say front row, it sounds like row row. You look at the row row, and you see a girl's face that might just be like out of it thinking about what she's going to eat when she gets home from this date because she didn't eat enough because she wanted, you know, whatever it is. That's just me. I'm projecting. But like, or she's looking at my jeans and being like, where'd she get those? Those are a little tight or whatever. She's judging, you know, like just thoughts, not really present. And I see her face and I look at her. We make eye contact while I'm on stage. The girl, people will just laugh because they're nice. They're not trying to not laugh, and they realize that they're not laughing, and that's what they're supposed to do. So when you make eye contact, they're like, eh, giving me what I want, which I've done before as someone in the front row of Jimmy Fallon stand-up show, which was my first stand-up show ever at a college. He did in when I was still in high school. I went to go see him at my friend's college, and I remember being front row. You have to like really keep a smile on your face, so I don't like to force a smile. I never want to force anyone into anything. So I keep it blurry so that I never have to make eye contact and feel A, bad about myself, or B, force someone into smiling and laughing when they don't want to. But Andrew will get off stage sometimes before me and go, hey, listen, there's like a pretty severe burn victim in the front row. Like they don't have a face, or, you know, like, hey, there's someone in the front row that looks like this. And like, you know, there's sometimes their facial disfigurements that can be alarming just because you're not used to seeing a face that looks like that. And not in a rude way, but just like, hey, there's some, don't make a face at them. Like, whoa. Because I will have to say that one of the worst things that ever happened to me was, I'm so embarrassed to even share this, but one time I was driving and I was in the back seat of a car, like an Uber, and I was just looking out the window, and we were pulled up to a stoplight, and a car pulled up, and there was someone with a facial disfigurement that I did not see until I turned to the right. And all of a sudden this person was, first of all, staring at me very close to the like car next to me, already staring at me, which is a scary thing. But they also had a facial disfigurement. I don't remember what kind. And I have so much empathy and like love to watch. I watch YouTube videos of people with like burns and like facial disfigurements all the time, because I just find that there people that are like burn victims are just like have such good outlook on life after they've, or like acid attack victims. Anyway, I like scream, like I like yelped when I saw this person because it was scary and alarming. And it just felt so cruel, but it was just like this human reaction of like, oh my God, what's wrong? You know? And so Andrew will sometimes warn me about those things, not because of that incident, but because, you know, that happens to good humans or good, well-meaning humans as myself. And he'll come off stage and be like, hey, listen, front row, blah, blah. And I'll go, it doesn't matter. I know, like, what I'm doing to their face with my blurring is worse than whatever it could be. Like, I don't see anyone. And sometimes I get messages after shows from guys being like, you were making eye contact with me the whole show and I felt it. And I'm like, no, I wasn't, buddy. I was looking into the ether and blurring my eyes hard. So I hope that doesn't deter people from coming to shows, because sometimes people like to have that connection. But I'm not looking at you, and it's only for your own good. All right, let's get Andrew in here for the second day's worth of breaking news. And by breaking, I mean he's going to break news. Like, literally, it's going to be broken after this because of how he reads headlines. But I bet you he's coming in hot today, and he's going to have his shit together. So we'll get Andrew in here shortly. Thank you all so much, by the way, for listening to the show yesterday and all, for all your posts and your sharing on your stories, the rates and reviews. It means so much, and the enthusiasm about it. But listen, we're going to be here every day. So let's just get comfortable, and we'll talk to Andrew right after this.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent, telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Good
Second
morning.
Day, buddy. Good morning.
Good morning.
How'd you sleep last night?
Yeah, I slept naked again. We had to do this podcast early.
I know. It's hard to sleep when you know you have to get up for something early. I felt the same way.
I don't know how people do it with jobs. Did you say how early it was here?
Yeah, so early. People that are listening that get up every day at like 5 are furious probably at the fact that I think 8 o'clock is early.
Yeah, but 8 o'clock here is 5 o'clock somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. That you are dressed like a guy who actually says that unironically.
Yeah, I have a Tommy Bahama on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing laundry right now, so it's been 2 days in a row. But yeah, there's a big Tommy Bahama community, and I feel like you need to get on board with it.
I understand that Tommy Bahama is a brand that people pay way too much money for, and because you kept saying yesterday about your shitty shirt, it's Tommy Bahama. It's Tommy Bahama. It's like, that doesn't mean anything to me. And you go, it means something to some people. And I go, well, it still doesn't. You can have a shirt that you're like, it's high quality, which, you know, I guess I see it's a little threadbare in certain areas, or there's threads coming loose.
It's like a 700 count, probably.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Is that how much you paid for it?
Nah, I lied to you the other day.
Yeah, that was the first lie of the day for you.
Yeah, so me. I lied about, I bought this shirt. It was $120, but it was 50% off. It was in a Cayman kind of, not the nicest shop on the island, but not a bad shop.
Not a bad shop at all. I cleaned up there and got some really cute stuff. I spent about the same amount as him and got like 5 items. You know, it's a little fast fashion-y items, and I regret that, but hadn't shopped in a while, needed some new clothes, wasn't prepared to wear things. Like, I thought coming on this show, it would be like my wardrobe for the show, which is really dressy, and then other times I just want to be in pajamas. I didn't know that I might be doing things outside of the show where I'd want to look nice.
Gotcha.
But then you spotted this
Hawaiian
shirt across the room at this place. I let him go shop on his own in his own section.
You let me?
I mean, I just like, you know, I went in mine. I kind of abandoned you.
Yeah.
Which I do in the stores.
I'm a free man. I can shop where I want.
You are a free man.
So I went exactly where you pointed. Uh-huh.
Oh my God, his behavior in the store really irritated me.
So in my mind, when I shop, I think about how you're going to judge me. I'm not going to lie. So I went to the 50% section,
what?
50% off, because I knew if I paid full, which is probably better Tommy quality, you would have even judged me more if we walked out of there and I had a shirt similar to this, but with maybe one more colorful flower on it, and it was $130. You would freak the fuck out.
I just judge you when you spend a lot of money on something that is truly like worthless, and I know you're not going to use a lot. So yeah, it does irritate me when you spend a lot of money on things. It's none of my business, and it's it's none of my business, and it's a definite flaw of mine that I even interfere. But I just, when I see spending that is just stupid, it bugs me. And I don't want you to fall for marketing schemes of like, this is 50% off, when they actually just double the price that they want you to pay and then slap a sticker on it and make you feel like you're getting a deal when it was always meant to be sold at 50% off anyway. And it's already marked up at 50%. So you spent $75
okay,
on this
shirt.
Okay,
who owns more things that they only wear once in a blue moon?
You. I'm not talking... because I'm a girl, man. That's different. And I don't buy things, really, that I only wear once. And it's certainly not for $75. Never. Maybe, I mean, that necklace I gave you the other day, $40, and I never wore that, and I felt terrible about it. I really didn't had every intention of wearing it.
God, I thought it was more money than
yeah.
that. But yes, so I went, I bought it, I paid $75. And then I don't know when you asked me, but for some reason you asked me how much it cost.
I got 50% off. I go, cool. And why were you trying? Why did you want to buy a Hawaiian shirt in the first place?
Because I wanted one photo on Instagram that got a minimal amount of likes that I took down anyways.
$75 on a post that you took down almost immediately because no one gave you what you wanted for it, which was attention about like, cool shirt. Like what? And you said you saw some MMA guy wearing a shirt, and that's what you're
trying
to
copy? Yeah,
this
guy named Dustin Poirier. Shout out Louisiana Hot Sauce. He's been selling it. He just
I thought that's what they called him. He sells hot sauce.
Yeah, he sells hot sauce.
Okay.
And he beat Conor McGregor recently,
right?
Which was an unbelievable story.
Was that the fight we watched?
Huh?
Was that the fight we watched?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I watched that fight
with your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, and your future ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, my future ex-girlfriend.
No, your new girlfriend.
Yeah, when I was fingering her a little bit while watching the fight. And
while
that wasn't
me and my
cool.
ex-boyfriend were...
talking about like,
I don't know.
News.
Stocks.
Yeah. Sitting in separate chairs and we're on the couch.
And you're on the
cuddling.
Couch and you're fingering her under the blanket, which I definitely said that you could do. I got, because I was like, listen, I'm going to be watching TV with you and your girlfriend.
You
a
let
lot.
Me finger my girlfriend.
I know. That's just like I let you shop in your own section. I just,
that is
I don't,
the same thing.
I don't mind that everyone's like, oh my God. Like, you know, when your best friend gets a partner, whether it's a girl or a guy, like girlfriends of mine have gotten boyfriends. what I hate more than anything is that our friendship and the closeness we share gets compromised by these new inside jokes that are rumbling between a new relationship, which is normal. But at my expense is never something I want to happen. So I never want something like sneaky being like, oh my God, I'm fingering you and Nikki's talking to us about how she went on a run and, you know, got sunburn or something. And you're like, oh my God, and you were fingering me. And you guys are like, that's your inside joke about like how I didn't know it. That really bugs. Like, of course I understand you guys are going to have inside jokes that I'm not a part of, but I don't want to be a part of the joke itself.
You don't want to be the butt end of it.
Yes. And I don't want your finger in her butt while I'm the butt end.
I
want to say that before that even happened, I go, listen, I know when we're watching TV at some point, we're all watching Veep together, us three, you're going to finger her under the blanket. I know it's happening, so I'm getting ahead of it. So the joke is not on me. I'm going to guess your fingers in her all the time when we're hanging out.
Yeah, they're never not. I mean, I have small hands, so she doesn't even know it.
So Dustin Poirier was wearing a shirt.
Oh, yeah, Dustin Poirier was wearing a very colorful shirt, and he really rocks it. He doesn't have to because most MMA fighters, you know, they're going to wear black. They're going to wear No Affliction or whatever.
Yes.
Or... what's the other ones? The just like real shitty.
Yeah.
Like I'm a badass. I've never like come early. I've never not benched 8,000 pounds.
I've never watched a YouTube video and go, oh, and like teared up because like a little boy was
like, yeah. Or like a dog's best friends with a pony. I've never cried. Yeah. So those kind of clothes. So he wears a lot of colorful clothes, which gave me the inspiration to go for it. And I realized his shirts are way more expensive, way more cool, way more like specific.
Yeah, he's wearing Tommy Bahama.
and
like
Thomas.
Yours was it's so plain. There's not enough color going on. It looks like he works at a resort on the island, like a low end resort as like
a duvet cover. Someone said I was
wearing.
Yeah,
you look like a duvet cover that's sold at Kmart for someone's beach home that they really, you know, that they're just kind of decorating for
and it's
Airbnb.
Not on the beach.
Like
it's
they don't have to be there.
It's by the beach.
It's bad.
It's not like it's a beach home that's like
when you,
4 miles
when you button
west.
It with two buttons though and leave the rest undone, it's more of a look and you are making more of a statement. With the gold necklace, it works a little bit better, but it is a terrible shirt and you wasted your money on it.
What did you get there that was so great?
I got two tank tops that I'm going to wear probably.
Have you worn them yet?
No, because I'm so excited. Well, I wore one of them and I got so many compliments and then I got the other one in white. I got black and white. I'm like obsessed with them and I only haven't worn the other one because I'm waiting to wear it when I want to look sexy AF. And I haven't had a chance to really do that offset. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
So then, and then I got, what else did I get there? Got a couple other things. I've worn it all. I was
you got
happy
very
with
upset when I asked where the puka shell necklaces were.
Oh, yeah. He went in there wanting to buy puka shell necklaces, too. Also, ironically, like the shirt. And you walked in. There is a clear jewelry rack. Like, this is where the jewelry is in our store. And then you looked at it all. We went through all the jewelry. And you go, I don't. And I go, maybe that one. You're like, no. And then we get to the front to check out. And you ask the woman, hey, she goes, did you find everything all right? You know, cursory asking. And you go, you guys don't have any like puka necklace. And I'm like, did you see it? Now we have to go through this whole rigmarole of her bringing you back to the jewelry rack you already looked at to show you the things that she has that you don't. Did you think she had some pukas in the back or something? I don't understand what you thought.
You've
you
never
were
heard
get
of
that.
A puka cell a safe?
No, they're not like Cuban cigars where there's like they're kept in a secret
you get to knock
humidor.
Three times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like be like chicken jingo. And they're like, what? Chicken jingo, and then they open it up, and it's just pukas.
Maybe there are. Maybe there's some puka necklaces made from very valuable materials that.
Look, I don't want to lean into being this guy, this island man, but it's so fun. Like I'm about 2 days away from getting full braids in my hair, but I have a receding hairline. It's gonna look horrible.
Wait, you're not. You can't get braids. Your hair's not long enough.
You would braid anything.
I don't think that's true, Andrew. We got to get to the news. What do you got for us today?
Oh, we got some fun stuff, baby.
Okay, let's move into it.
Let's get after it.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Alrighty, here we go, folks. We're all out there. All right, Utah's governor considers a law that requires mandatory porn filters on phones and tablets sold in the state. Wild. Yeah.
Drive over to Colorado now to get your to get your
you have to go cross state to jerk off.
I mean, just get what it is. I think it's just like it has a filter. Like, you know, Utah's very Mormon and anti. No, I'm not going to say the whole state is, but, you know, that you go there and it's like the Caymans. They don't have sex shops here.
Oh, yeah. I've
you know, like it's
that,
very this is a very Christian nation. I think that's what it is. I think they're Christian here. And yeah, very puritanical. Well, not they're not Puritans, but puritanical beliefs when it comes to sex and stuff. And so, yeah, this guy's trying to get filters put on devices before you even buy them so that you would have to remove it. Kind of like, you know, when you two put on that album on the new iPhones, remember? And yeah. Everyone was so mad about it.
Well, yeah.
This is this is the opposite of that. No, it's pretty much like that. I would be as angry. I don't know why people got so angry about that. Just take the YouTube thing off. People are
also,
so angry about the dumbest stuff.
Yeah, they don't want anything forced on you, yet we have so many other laws. Like, this one is ridiculous. Government, stay the fuck away from what I masturbate to.
I believe that kids do need to be protected from porn and how accessible it is.
There's already
I think
guidelines on so
oh,
Apple
a little button
and
you
Google
click that's
both,
like...
Both have parental controls already.
Yeah.
And then
but
also
the funny part about that is that he wants to pass this law because parents don't know how to use Apple and Google to turn those filters on.
Right. Right.
Well, do alert. I mean, take the time, parents. If you don't
want
your
kid. The parents will take the time to learn how to turn it off.
Huh?
That's the only way that a parent will actually take the time to learn, like, to read the user manual.
They have to jerk
is
off.
So they can jerk off.
Yeah, dude. I mean, look. Also, 5 other states have to sign this to make this a law.
Right.
I mean, by
this
2031.
Is just like
it's just like
beginnings, though. I mean, it's like this isn't actually going to happen anytime soon. But it is an interesting article because I do find that I can't believe.
Kids
how
have access
easy,
to it?
Easily accessible porn is. I don't know what kind of questions they could have at the top of a porn page so that it could block out someone who's 18 or under 18. Like,
yeah, look, I wouldn't mind if the government stepped
name
in.
Name a Bee Gees song or did you watch Are You Afraid of the Dark? What lineup of shows was a hit on Saturday nights for Nickelodeon? I don't know, things that only people...
Oh, that we're older would know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, it's a $10 fine. So, I mean, I don't know how many times. I mean, that could probably add up, actually.
$10
the amount
fine
of porn.
To what?
If you got a $10 fine every time you checked out porn, how much money
wait,
you
get
think
charged
you,
if you
yeah, that's
if you
what,
watch porn?
That's what the government, that's what they're trying to do. So, they're passing a law. If your kid breaks it, if it's any harmful content that can include any description or representation of nudity or sexual conduct that doesn't have artistic, political, or scientific value.
I mean, you could argue porn has artistic value. Like
100%.
So, 100%.
I've looked at paintings at the MoMA, and it has nothing on double penetration that I watched last night.
Right. Did you read the little...
this history behind the video?
Yeah, like what's it called? The little placard next to the DP video you were watching?
I did, and it really taught me that 4 days ago, a girl got paid $35 to get DP'd by two men. And it was pretty...
I got to be honest, last night I did read some of the descriptions because I was trying to... I had to like search terms that I was looking for. And so it led me to some of the captions that the search words were showing up in. And the writing for some of the porn descriptions, which I always overlook.
That you wrote in?
No.
Oh,
I searched a couple words, and then they would like highlight where the words were
God.
in the body of the paragraph about it.
Body, yaddy, yaddy, yaddy.
And some of these descriptions, I know that porn descriptions can be written like by almost bots. Like it just doesn't make any sense. But on the websites I pay for, where there's like money put into them, these descriptions were fantastic, and I was like, I was getting turned on reading those more so than the video itself. It was very interesting.
Who do you think they hire to write these? Like, where are they getting these writers?
Probably just
journalists
either freelance.
Fired from Wall Street Journal and stuff?
Like for masturbating during a meeting on Zoom. Like, journalists, like, what's his name? Now he's, what's that guy's name that got fired? Now he's...
Jeffrey Toobin.
Yeah, now Jeffrey Toobin is writing descriptions for kink.com. She surrenders her body and begs to,
he keeps it completely professional, even though he's there. So yes. That's cool of him.
Even on meetings where it's a jerk off meeting.
Yeah, yeah, where everyone else is jerking off.
I know,
off.
He got in trouble the other day for wearing a tie to a meeting about.
Yeah, he was too dressed up.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey sells an NFT, which we've heard a lot about, which we know very little about.
I'm now learning way more than I want to know about NFTs. I thought I was going to be able to stay out of this conversation, but I think I get what they are now.
He sold the first tweet for $2.9 million.
So what does that look like? Is it like a...
You want to know what his first tweet was, by the way? That's going to blow your mind. That's worth $2.9 million.
It's not about the tweet. It's about the fact that it's first. But okay, what is it?
It's just setting up my Twitter, but he misspelled Twitter. TWTTR.
I mean, TWTTR? Yeah. Oh, he didn't misspell Twitter. That was like on purpose. You know, that was the start of that like kind of Tumblr, like all those without the vowel kind of things.
Yeah.
And that's like most people's first tweet. It's like, I remember mine was like, what is this thing? It was 2009 or 10.
Oh, man. Yeah. What would that sell for?
No fucking NFC. No fucking clue.
Honestly, the problem is you got to set up like a
what is it? No, do you understand what it is?
Oh, okay.
I'm sure that's...
So an NFT...
So someone owns that and can sell that to digital, like a commercial or something or like...
Yeah, it's a digital certificate of authenticity that confirms an item is real and one of a kind by recording the details on a blockchain digital ledger.
Okay.
Essentially, like selling artwork in like the digital space using cryptocurrency.
Well, when digital things are so recopyable, I mean, I could just screenshot that first tweet too. Now if I understand owning it and being able to license it and make money from it, but like, and
well, compare it to like a Van Gogh original.
Right, a Van Gogh
is
like
a print.
Tangible thing though.
But.
That you could see the paint strokes. Like there's, you're like, oh my God, Van Gogh was in the same room with this. I can't ever be in the same room as Jack Dorsey typing on his computer. Like I think the keyboard he typed that on would probably be more value to me than the tweet itself, if that makes sense.
So you feel like
something
needs to be.
Even though I'm looking at your keyboard right now and I can't, I was using it before and I go, I can't even imagine what germs are on this thing. Mine's disgusting too, but like yours has got to be.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of... bad stuff that went on with those keys, especially between the G and the H. wait. So you think something needs to be tangible for it to be worth something? Then how about a comedy special selling? Like, that's not tangible.
Well, I understand. If someone owns my comedy special, they can license it when people watch it and make money from it. Who is watching Jack Dorsey's first tweet? Who is that being licensed to? What is the value of it if not to sell it? I don't understand where it exists that you can just stare at it, because I can stare at it the same way you can on my computer screen if you own it. I guess it's just like, that's my question.
I mean, first of all, to do any of these things, you have to fill out like forms to get Bitcoin and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm never going to. I mean,
yeah, you're
you
not
could
a
tell
form
me
guy.
I could make 200 grand, but... To figure out how to buy Bitcoin, I'd rather just be poor and
your
disgusting.
Your conception of money is really insane. You won't fill out a form for $200,000, but you will spend $72.5, $75 on a shirt that
62 came
is
in.
A joke that is not even going to pay off, and you're going to remove from your Instagram with it. Like, how long did it take you to just take that down? Was it after I made fun of it, you looking like you work at a resort?
No, it was...
That's what I like about you is you'll just take things down. You'll admit that that was a failure, and then I get to make fun of you and be like, haha, I was right. Instead of just like leaving it up for me. Because I would never look at the likes and be like, that didn't even get much. I don't look at your likes. I don't look at likes at all, actually.
I know. I'm trying not to. But I also like sometimes I'll post something and it's not even about the likes. This is just like a state of my mind at that point. Which,
oh, yeah. I've been there before.
And then my mind later is like, you're such a cheesy fucking dumb fuck.
I know. It's so embarrassing, some of the things I put out there, that I'm like, ew, like what state of mind were you in that you thought this was a good idea? Like it makes me feel crazy sometimes and not trust myself.
But we don't have to be stuck to that state of mind. So you just take it down. Who cares? I'm not tied
to
it. It's not an NFT or something. Well, speaking of NFT craze, a New York City man sells a year's worth of his fart recordings for, get this, $90 million. No, no one's, $85.
No one bought that. Okay. Gosh.
Did you believe it for a second?
I mean, I thought he maybe put it up for $90 million, but no one paid that. But someone paid $85, for recordings. I would do that. I mean, that is better than the shirt you bought. At least that is more, that's going to bring more joy to people's lives.
This is a Tommy Bahama original.
I know. And his farts were.
Yeah, those are Alex Ramirez Mollis originals.
Yes.
He's kind of making fun of it, the NFT thing. But look, I think when, like, you know, again, going back to like Picasso or whatever, I'm sure there were a bunch of fucking people when Picasso was selling his shit, they would just scribble on a page and be like, oh, art. Oh, I should sell this for $1 million. You know what I mean? That's the equivalent to this fart guy.
Picasso is not as, I know what you're saying though. Like guys that just like put a piece of a dot on a canvas and it's, you know,
Campbell's
in the moment.
Soup.
Yes. Yeah, well, that was actually, he like drew it, I think, or did lithograph. Like, there was art behind it. But yes, I get it. Farts can be arts too.
What's that?
Farts can be art.
I think, honestly, I would rather buy a year worth of farts all day long over 98% of things. I'm not even kidding. But another person's fart is never as good as your own.
Except
I would buy my own
fart. You're obsessed with mine.
Because they're
so
low.
You couldn't stop talking about it last night.
I've never expected your farts to be such a low Boys to Men fart. I'm sorry. I never expected it. It's something that I never expected.
It was one time. It was the one time I fart, and it happened to be a low one. But like you don't you have
you
different?
You did two.
I know. I did like eight. That. But I think
it sounds like, hey, come on over. Let's go dancing. Yeah, your farts are a sexual black man that has a very low voice who doesn't sing during the songs but just talks.
I'm never gonna hear my farts the same way again. God damn it. I'm always gonna think of you when I fart now.
Till the end of the road. Dude, how much did you listen to Boys to Men? I mean, that one album.
I didn't at all.
Come Again? Really?
Oh, the one with Down on Bended Knee?
I just got
incendious
there, or whatever that word is.
What, Noah?
I said the album with the song Down on Bended Knee.
Yes.
I didn't listen to it at all. Noah, you did?
I loved Boys to Men.
Dude, Boys to Men was huge. That's weird, because we usually are on the same point with music.
You're older than me, bruh.
All right.
You're like, you know, that's that, like, how many years we got in between us? Four?
Three and a half.
No, that's not true. We have 4 years in between us, four full years, and that 4 years is there are certain things that sometimes I totally miss. Like I am right on the cusp of never having watched Beverly Hills, but I'm friends with so many people. Beverly Hills 90210 was like such a part of their growing up, but for me it was just, I missed it completely. I was a child.
But it is wild how many songs I know and you know that we memorized, and I don't
never
memorize that many.
Never have I ever felt so low. When you're gonna take me out of this black hole. That other night, I put that on, and we couldn't believe it.
We know that. Better Man by
Pearl Jam. I learned Better Man by Pearl Jam just in the past year.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've always known it, but I never knew the lyrics, like, by
heart.
She
lies and says she's in love with him.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the beginning of that first, like, three
waiting, watching the clock, it's 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, yep. It's got to, that song, O-A-R, we know a lot of the words, the Bob Dylan song.
I mean, we could keep going forever about the songs that we both know, but yes, you're right. There's certain songs that are very much our generation was, like, obsessed with. The other day, Noah, you had mentioned the song Sexual Healing, and I looked up the Ben Harper version, because I got into the Ben Harper version before the Marvin Gaye version, because it just, for some reason, it just like got very trendy when I was in high school, this live Ben Harper version. And then I got into the Marvin Gaye, but you go, wait, why do I know this song? Like, I love this song. And I was like, because for some reason, it had a resurgence from like the hippie community. Like
I wonder if it came from a movie. Sometimes I think maybe it came from a movie.
No, we were
why
the trading
it blew up.
Tapes, all of us DMB heads. Anyway, let's get to the next story.
Okay, next story. The toilet. Oh, this one's going to hit close to home for me. But the toilet invading iguanas among invasive species now banned in Florida.
Okay, why are they toilet invading?
Well, so what will happen is they'll dig underneath your house and get in the sewer, mm-hmm. and then they'll end up inside your shitter, just hanging out.
Like and thrashing around.
Oh, poor things. There's a lot of iguanas here in the Caymans. They're like squirrels, as my friend, my British friend calls them.
We don't see
them.
A lot. I haven't seen one.
It's funny. They have like iguana crossing signs. Like they're not trying to be funny. It's like, watch out for iguanas. And there have been none. I thought I was going to see them everywhere, and it's some kind of climate change thing, or they like have eradicated them a little bit or something because they were kind of invasive. But it's, yeah, I've been dying to see one. So they're banned in Florida. So they're,
yeah,
people are bringing them in. Are they like exotic pets?
So I think that's how this started in the 60s. They brought someone, there was, you know, the iguanas, someone brought them in. They have them as pets, and it's not just iguanas. It's snakes, Burmese pythons, all that shit.
Good.
They don't want them anymore because they're ruining the Everglades. What I assume happens is someone buys a snake. This thing gets to 19 feet.
Yeah.
And they're like, I live in a studio. Like, I don't even have room for me.
And they let
it out.
So they'll
go throw it in the Everglades. Yeah.
Got it.
We had a snake growing up, my family. My brother bought a Burmese python snake. And he went to college when it was like, I don't know, 3 feet. And this thing's going to get to 15 feet. He just left a snake.
Gosh.
Who leaves a snake behind?
So what became of it? Did you let it out?
It died pretty. Like, aww. You know what happened with the hermit crabs with you?
Yeah.
Like, I think, I don't want to point any fingers, but I think someone stopped feeding it. And I don't want to point any fingers, though. But watching that thing kill a mouse, woo, what a rush. What a rush.
I know, but oh, that
my drug dealer neighbor shot a bullet into our house, and the bullet went through the snake. I don't know if I ever told you that.
It killed the snake?
No, it didn't kill the snake, but it went through the snake cage or the snake, whatchamacallit, whatever.
Aquarium?
Yeah, like through the glass.
Whoa, and shattered
it? Isn't that wired? Yeah, just a little right through.
Wow.
And I know, it's like the most Florida story ever, but yeah.
No, the most Florida story ever is when you got caught speeding on a jet ski in a manatee zone.
Yes, they that is.
And you have a mugshot from it.
Yeah, if you go to mugshots.com.
I wanted to do this story because you're scared of lizards, and I think that's a hilarious fear.
I'm afraid to pick up a lizard, no matter how small it is. Smaller, probably, the more scared I am. Growing up in Florida, man, like, you would think you would, you would like lizards more because they're around so much, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would assume there's something in St. Louis, an animal that you would maybe hold more than, I don't know. I'm just saying there are a lot of
cardinals lizards.
So a lot of kids would pick up lizards.
Just kidding.
And put them on their ears.
Yeah, anoles. Yeah, little chameleons.
And I never got
into it. What are they
going
to do to you?
Nothing.
You're scared of the cat that wanders in here sometimes too. Like, your fear of animals that can't hurt you are, it's weird to me because you're not scared of certain things.
But I'm not afraid
of
pit bulls and shit. I'm not afraid of like
actual things that could maybe hurt you. I know most pit bulls are kind and gentle, but yeah, I just, irrational fears bug me.
Agreed. And that's like when I'm afraid of AIDS, but then I have cancerous polyps in my asshole.
That you don't get looked at.
I don't even think about them.
But you'll like chew off your hand being nervous that you got AIDS because you made out with a girl who
So my fear of AIDS is my fear of lizards, and my asshole is...
Irrational fears are not about lizards.
But you have
AIDS.
Irrational fears
all the time. Yeah, I know, and I'm mad at yours because I get mad at mine, but I try to...
I guess your number one is the driving one.
Yeah, that's not irrational.
Huh?
There's nothing irrational about that.
Why?
Two-lane highways where people go more than 50 miles per hour, there are many more fatalities, especially with texting and driving, where if you turn the steering wheel 2 inches, you have a head-on collision. Going at 50 miles per hour each direction, that's a very real fear. Let's move on.
Especially if a lizard's driving.
Why would I care?
Okay. Why would you care, Nikki, about this story? Anna Faris tells Gwyneth Paltrow that she had competitive and comparison in her marriage with Chris Pratt.
I would care about that because I did Anna Faris's podcast, and she's a lovely woman, and I like her a lot. We had a great talk, and I was also always fascinated by their relationship because they got together before he was like the Chris Pratt that we know now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just interesting that two people who do the same thing for a profession being in a romantic relationship, I think that's just unavoidable that there's going to be competition
Yeah,
and I mean, I don't know how people make it work, and so I guess it doesn't work.
I mean, he went from the chubby guy on Community to the biggest heartthrob on the biggest movie in the world.
At
the time, she was probably bigger than him when they first got together.
And yeah. she she's a huge star still, and is, you know, made probably as much money from doing Mom and whatever other shows she's been on as he has a movie or close to it. I mean, she's probably made a ton, but.
How would you
as
feel,
someone
though?
Who wants to be in a relationship with someone in the business, I don't think I can be with someone who is in front of the camera because of how jealous I get and of how jealous they will get. I mean, to be in this business and want to be a star, you have to be insecure, and insecurity breeds jealousy. And it's just, I don't think I'd have to get to a much better place. And I think I'd be better with it than my partner, but I feel like most men in this business that are drawn to wanting to be famous can't handle other people being more famous than them.
Yeah, it's hard for me to talk to you right now.
You're not like that, but
I am a little bit. I mean, I just like, I don't know. I set expectations low.
Yeah.
And I don't reach
them. I'm getting better about it. But I would have to enter into a relationship where they're already such a bigger star than me that I would never.
That's what I'm saying. So if you went into a relationship with someone that was beneath you, and then next thing you know, they're fucking skyrocketing, how would you feel? Huh?
It might bug me, but I would hope it wouldn't. But I don't know that I've done enough work on myself that it wouldn't. All right, that's the news. And let's
wait,
get
do we
to...
care? Do we care?
I do care. Okay. I think that's an interesting story. And I'd like to explore it more, but we don't have time because we got to get to Game Changer. Game Changer is where we share something that has changed our lives that we recommend for you to check out. My Game Changer is breakfast. I did not eat breakfast for probably the past 18 years of my life. And it was because I thought that, you know, I ate so much last night. I don't want to, I'm just going to eat as much today. If I'm not that hungry in the morning, I should just skip it. And about a year ago, I started, my like eating was getting out of control in terms of like starving myself all day and binging at night. So I started eating breakfast, which is really hard to do, especially after you have, because you have to just start one day and you've binged the night before. So you're not even hungry in the morning, but I just started. And now I don't binge at night anymore because I start eating in the morning and throughout my day. And I'm not as obsessed with food throughout the day. And I'm not like thinking about food and irritated because I can't wait for this thing to be over so I can go home and eat or be alone with food or like, oh, like I, you know, when you're starving, all you're thinking about is like, when can I get food? And when you only allow yourself to eat at a certain time of day or alone or do your weird behavior, it affects your entire day. And because I wake up every morning and I have two bowls of oatmeal with protein powder, that is a very filling, like 600 calorie breakfast, which by the way, I would not eat 150 calorie breakfast. That would have made me feel guilty in the past. So starting out my day with 600 calories every morning, no matter what, and not having gained a single pound from it this year and having come from, you know, binging every night, like thousands of calories every night, and being able to also incorporate a 600 calorie breakfast every day, and then that tapering off as I learned how to eat more normally, and not having seen any side effects, and I didn't up my running. I actually started working out way less. I don't work out as much anymore. I'm not as obsessed with food anymore. And it's all due to having three meals a day. But really, most importantly, was breakfast, because that was the biggest struggle. But I have had two bowls of oatmeal for a year now, every single morning, no matter what. And when I can't get oatmeal, I have like a, you know, a couple protein bars or whatever I can do on the go. But plain oatmeal, two stevia, lots of water. Our phone is ringing. And two scoops of protein, scoop per bowl of oatmeal. Heat it up for 2 minutes. You guys, it's so freaking good. And I got Andrew hooked on it. So chocolate protein powder, that's what I do. And then you can add like varieties of oatmeal that are different flavors. So that's my Game Changer. That's what I would like to share with you. Andrew.
Yeah.
What's your Game Changer?
So it's got to be this Tommy Bahama shirt.
Oh, God. Here we go.
I mean, I never thought I was going to have one of these in my life. No, honestly, I've been copying you a lot, like to the point where it's like starting to weird me out a little, like talented Mr. Ripley. Like, I copied your breakfast and I apologize.
Yeah.
But that used to be a thing in the past where, like, you didn't love when I would get the same coffee as you. Like, you're like, why you got to get a Misto? That's my thing.
Yeah.
Get it. We can't both get chicken parms at the restaurant. But I've been copying your breakfast and it is a great bake. Not to promote oatmeal more, but if you're like not lazy, but you don't love to cook and like cooking eggs, you got to clean like three different oatmeal is the
instant oatmeal, baby.
Instant oatmeal. I
scoop
a
protein powder
to
give it some like protein and some like chocolatey, sugary goodness.
Oh.
That, you know, a low sugar protein. I use Orgain, not an ad.
Great base.
It's delicious. And yeah, I used to get irritated when you would eat the same thing as me because I'm someone who's like comes from an anorexic background. I always want to eat less than everyone. So when you eat the same as me, it's like it's a boy eating the same as me. I feel like, oh, I must be eating like a boy. I'm so fat. But now I literally eat more for you for breakfast every single day and I don't give a fuck. And
awesome.
Yeah, I just don't care.
I mean, I've been judging it a lot.
Yeah, well, it's not about you judging
no,
it. It's
I know,
just about
I know.
Me.
I'm just fucking around. But yeah, no, but I guess my game changer mostly it's exercise for me. For a long time, I don't know what it was. I had a very adverse reaction to exercising. Is that the right way to say it? I don't know.
You would get like heart palpitation. You would get like anxiety after
I would get very
out.
Tired after the day after working out to the point where I would avoid it and mm-hmm. I'd ignore it. And so much of it was mental. And you would tell me it was mental. But you know, when things are physical and even if because they are mental, you can't, no matter if someone tells you that, you have to come to that realization yourself.
You can't get it to go away unless you believe it's mental too.
Yes, exactly.
Which is hard to do when you're having a physical reaction, which does not mean that it's not actually physical, but it's coming from your anxiety.
And what I've noticed with my exercise, and I don't know if people like, I thought it was like a new thing, these HIIT exercises, H-I-I-T.
Yeah, HIIT.
Instead of like doing like heavy weights and like getting I don't know. There are workouts you could do at home, and they really, like, if you have ADD like I do, they switch up, like, every day. Like, just running monotonous is too hard for me, so I don't know. I like doing these workouts, and it makes the rest of my day better. Like, dude, I'm so much more at ease, and
revelation.
I know a lot of people.
No.
I know it's – no,
but
it is very –
but why is it so hard to exercise if it just makes you feel better? Like, why is it so, I mean, I'm really asked.
Well, I mean, I explained it. Like, I was having, I was not getting positive results from working out. I was feeling worse.
How'd you get over that, though? We don't have an answer to that.
Potentially Zoloft.
Okay,
potentially.
So I feel like Zoloft's your game changer. Noah, do you have a game changer?
We got
changer?
There. Thanks for telling me what mine is. You let me have my game changer.
Yeah, go over there, find your puka shell necklace, and take your Zoloft.
I think,
do you have one, Noah?
I think people like subconsciously are like have a fear of success, and I think that plays into why we don't work out, why we don't do positive things for ourselves, because we're fear success. I can't explain it, but once you get over it, and antidepressants have helped me with that too, it just kind of like breaks that wall that you put up between you and something successful.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's move into final thought, because that actually brings me perfectly into mine. Final thought of the day, where we kind of just say something that maybe we wanted to get to and didn't get a chance to as quickly as possible. There's a great Reddit video about conquering fear. Are you okay?
No, it looks like your thing's about to fall out. Okay, anyways.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There's a great Reddit video about conquering fear that I saw last night. It's this little boy who has autism who is scared of cold water, and his dad is in the bathtub trying to get him to, he's probably like 7 or 8, the boy, and he's just terrified of the cold water, and his dad is like, and he's like, Dad, I don't want to get in. The dad's in the bathtub, and he's like, I don't want to get in. I don't want to. I just related to it so much, of having this like crazy fear that like makes you feel such like a baby because you're scared of this thing like bath water, you know? And the kid is like just so scared, and his dad goes, you know what? This is a lesson. He goes, we have to do this. You have to do this because there are things we're scared of, and you have to face them. And this is going to teach you that fear, you can overcome fear. And it was just the cutest lesson. The kid, like, it was a 5-minute video, and I don't cry, but I was real close to it on this. It was so adorable just seeing a dad so compassionate, so, you know, still stern and making his force, like helping his son, like do something he didn't want to do. But at the same time, like, I'll send it to you so we can, or I'll put it up on my Instagram for you guys to see tonight. But the video is just so sweet and inspirational. And it's, if you want to look it up, it's a dad teaching his son to get out of the bathtub or to get into the bathtub. And the mom is filming it. And people are like, why is the mom filming it? And it's like, this is, he does a YouTube channel, the dad does, to help, like, for parents of kids with autism to, like, you know, track. I don't really know what, it's like a diary of, like, what it's like to, for other parents, because yeah, it's such a, like, a tricky, complicated thing. But it's just the sweetest video, and I wanted to share that.
Yeah, no, I it makes me think of when my dad would make me eat my peas.
I know. I was thinking, like, I was actually thinking about you when you watched, like, it, and I was like, I bet he'll get emotional because I wonder if his dad ever did.
No, I don't think any, I don't. Like, I don't
come
remember.
On, Andrew, you,
like,
can do it. I know you're scared, but you can do it.
I don't remember that at all. I remember I didn't eat my peas on my plate, and he'd be like, "Eat your pea." Like, I just remember eating everything except the peas. Yeah. Did you ever do that as a kid? Eat around the veg? Well, you like veggies, but as a kid, I wouldn't go. I didn't eat a vegetable for probably the first.
Yeah, my parents didn't acknowledge the fear of, like, I understand you're scared and things are scary in life, but we have to do scary things. It was more like, that's, what are you talking about? That's stupid. And then, like, and now I have the voice of that gentle parent in my head for myself. I've learned, and my parents weren't, like, mean. They just didn't understand empathy, really.
That's exactly how I feel, the same exact way, where it was like they were frustrated, where it's like, how could you be afraid of this?
Yeah, and which I, like, get sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
I just still do. I mean, I don't understand why you're scared of lizards, and I'm mad at you for it, and I would not be like that, Dad. Actually, go get in the bathtub right now and have a lizard crawl up through the pipe, and I'll hold your hand and make you eat peas. All right. That's the show today, guys. We'll be here tomorrow. Thank you for listening. As always, subscribe. I've said as always, like, because people say that, but I haven't said it enough to say as always yet.
Look, at the end of the day, Nikki.
Oh my God. We're on a TV show where people keep saying at the end of the day, and also for what it's worth.
And first and foremost.
First and foremost. So first and foremost, and for what it's worth, at the end of the day, we gotta go. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, guys. Rate, review, subscribe, all those things. Spread the word. Thanks for listening. We're gonna be doing this a while, and I'm excited. Have a great day, night, morning, whatever.
Whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.